The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Good evening. It's the last service of the month. Today is 30th of January. Glory to God. So beautiful. And when I look at another person, I can change my mind. God is constant. Are you following me? God is constant. Malachi tells us, chapter 1 and verse 6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. He said, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord, I change not. So you notice, he's never going to change. We're shouting about it on Sunday, Hebrew 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, forever. So it's not going to change. So what he's going to do for one is what he will do for everyone. If all of us have the same response to God, we are going to have the same results. If we have the same response, just like when you're performing practicals in the lab, if you get this particular element, get this element, and mix them under the same condition and everything, you will have the same results. Just like even in cooking, do you understand? Do you wonder why you look at a particular restaurant can have 5, 7, 10 different branches, and then they produce the same kind of food? At least something close to that. The same quality. Because they have their recipe. So that they've known you're adding 2 meals of this. They even know some advanced restaurants will tell you the heat. What the temperature will be at. Because if it's at a different temperature, you have a different result. Now that is, once you do the right thing, you have the same result. Now that is the same thing with God. Once we all have the same response, we all are going to have the same result. That's what I'm trying to say. Once we have the same response, we will have the same results. Once, if we have the same response and we have different results, then God has failed one person. I get what I'm talking about. And that's why when the word of God is coming, you must pay attention to what your response is. Whether it is coming by teaching or by correction or we are prophesying, the same, if we have the right response, we will have the same result. Just example again, is salvation. Once the message of salvation comes, once you have the right response, you have the same result. What is the response to salvation? Your faith. You believe. So we preach the gospel to you and you believe. If 30 will believe, 30 people will be saved equally. If 100 people believe, they will be saved the same way. Because they brought the same response. Now, if 100 people do not believe, they will have the same result, which is they will not be saved. So you bring the right response to God's word and you have the same result. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, when we say you have the same result, things may not happen for you exactly how it happened for the other person. But eventually there will be the same result. Are you getting the point? The reason again why it will not happen exactly the same way is because the conditions surrounding whatever may differ. Again, but the conditions surrounding the individual cases may differ, but eventually there'll be the same result. For instance, if there are two people who are sick, right, and the word of God is taught, and both of them believe and respond well to the word, where we are going to, both of them must be healed. Must. Now, one may be healed now, the other person's healing might be tomorrow. For some other personal reasons. If we now get into the details of the different issues, we can see why. I get what I'm saying. For instance, one person needs a child. The other person needs a healing because his leg is broken. The other one, the womb is bad. The other one, the leg is broken. Now, both of them are going to be healed, but the other one will discover his result after some time. At least she has to go home, meet with her husband to now confirm that she's healed. I get what I'm saying. Because of the peculiarities of the issues. But at the end of the day, once you have the same response to the word of God, you will have the same results. so that the word of God is true, that God is no respecter of persons. Word of God is true. He doesn't respect persons. God is not going to, you know, maybe because one person is big or small or this way or that way, not give him the same result. What that God is not respecter of persons simply means is that if God will do something for A, he will do the same for B. That's what it simply means. He will respond to everyone the same way. He wouldn't be partial. And again, salvation is another, is the model we are looking at again. Because when one person believes, someone from Pakistan believes, and someone from Uruguay believes, and someone from the village believes, and an illiterate believes, and a drug addict believes, all of them have the same results. God is no respecter of persons. Because people have actually used that verse to threaten people. Say, God is no respecter of persons, he will destroy your life. That's not what he's saying there. That statement was made by Peter in Acts chapter 10 when he went to the house of Cornelius to minister to them, and he was still preaching and they all began to pray in tongues. And he said that he has confirmed that God is no respecter of persons, because the same way the Jews received the Holy Ghost, even the Gentiles have received it. I get what I'm saying? So God is no respecter of persons. It's not a statement to threaten people. Say, he will destroy your life. He's not a respecter of persons. Even though you're a pastor, he will show you shege. That's not the meaning of that word. The meaning of that statement simply means that what God will do for A, he will do for B. What he will not do for B, he will not do for anybody. Are you following me? So God doesn't respect persons. So once we have the same response to the word of God, hallelujah, once we have the same response to the word of God, we are all going to have the same result. This is Acts chapter 10, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius. You know, he said, of a truth, I perceive that God doesn't respect persons. What followed? The next verse. He said, but in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. The same thing for every nation. So as the word of God is coming, God is not going to prefer one person. No, nobody is going to receive healing here because he is better than another person. If we all bring the same response, we'll have the same result. And this is also a time to digress, total digression, but it's very important to talk about this. To talk about even your progress with God. God is not going to use one person more than the other person because he prefers the other person. That's not correct. Let me say this to you. You see, in your walk with God this year, if you commit to your prayer life, commit to your study life, commit to your walk with God, you will have the same result as any other person, as pastor. The results I have in my Christian life are not here because I'm a pastor. I get the point. If I show you the formula, I say, pray every day, study your Bible, and you do the same, you have the same results. Same results. Yes, there are different callings. I've explained that. The way I normally put it is this. God will not use all of us the same way. There are many reasons for that. One is his sovereign choice. He might call one to be a pastor and call another person not to be a pastor. That is his sovereign choice. So you don't determine how God will use you. Do you understand? But how far you will go in whatever God has chosen to use you is your choice. If you make the right choice, you will make the right progress. You can't force God to call you as an apostle. If you're not an apostle, you're not an apostle. However, even if he called you as a janitor in church, as you clean church, you can make all the progress you can make in that particular place. All the progress you can make. What I mean is, look at what I'm saying. If a man called to be an apostle begins to pray, begins to fast, begins to give himself to study of the word, he will one day put it on the blind eyes will open. Can I show you, if someone also who is maybe a food sharer in church, like Stephen and Philip in Acts chapter 6, begin to give themselves to prayer and all of that, they will see put it on blind eyes, the blind eyes will open. He's no respect of persons. If you make the same sacrifice, you have the same results. If you bring the same response, you have the same results. And that's why response is so important. When we are laying hands on people and they are falling and all of that, some of them we get up. Notice it's the same hand that can be laid on 100 people. About 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, we go further and begin to shake their world by reason of that impartation. Some of us will remain in church waiting for the next program so that hands can be laid on them. Are you guys following me? So it's about response. So on Sunday, we began to look at how to respond to impartations. Because again, I showed you on Sunday Impartation is still God's word being spoken. I hope you are aware. Because when we lay hands on you, it is the word of God that we speak. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in you, that came on thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands. So when hands you are laid on Timothy, okay, prophecy was spoken. So there is a way to respond when hands are laid on you. Like I said on that day, if not, we can lay hands on you and lay leg, even stomach, and nothing is going to change in your life. And you can get angry all you want. I was showing you on Sunday. Laying on of hands can be used to do many things. Healings can come by laying on of hands. Okay? By impartations. Healings can come. Even material blessings, I was showing you on Sunday, can be communicated. When Isaac put hands on Jacob and prayed, one of the things he prayed over him is that he will prosper financially. In simple terms. And those words followed him. Those words followed him. And you look at all of that, it can be, you know, even people's future can be decided by impartation. People's future can be decided. Carry Genesis 49. Jacob sat down on his bed and spoke over all his children from A to Z and he followed them. I get to the point. Like, we can lay hands on you and set your future. Again, that's why I say to parents, have this as your responsibility all the time. To put hands on your kids and decide their future. Hands can be laid and people's future decided. That's why it's important to respond well to impartations. So respond well. As a way of recapping, I'll just show you. I reminded you, I said, you know, one of the things that will make impartation work in your life is that you must value the impartation. I might say that on Sunday. You must value it. You must value that moment. You know, value that moment. You look at how Esau and Jacob were clamoring for impartation. See how they were fighting for who the father laid hands on. I always get to that point, and I like repeating it again and again, that they were not fighting for properties. They were not. And it's about value. What do you value? How much do you value impartations? How much do you value hands being laid on you? How much do you value that? When hands are laid on you, do you think it's yet another thing that has happened in church? Or don't you know that can be a defining moment all your life? It can be the defining time for your whole life. Hands can be laid on you and it will bring you into what you walk in for the next 25 years of your life. I get what I'm talking about. And it might just be a casual meeting. It might be a cell meeting. It might be just, I'm just having a meeting with some of my people. I say, let me just lay hands on you guys. That moment can take you very far. But it's about how much you value impartation. I have great value for impartations and I can go all the way out for impartations. What did Isaac tell Jacob, or tell Esau rather? Get me venison, let me bless you. Now, that's not to say that when someone wants to lay hands on you, you must bring food or bring money. And I like correcting such things. And I was talking to some of my, I think it was a minister I was talking to recently, and I was sharing with them about somebody that joined us in church here. And I observed every time this guy wants to come and see me in the office, he will bring money. Every time he comes, he will bring money. Every time he comes, the minister was telling this. Yeah, on Sunday, every time he comes, he will bring money. I said, I don't have a problem with collecting the money. Okay, praise God. I don't feel guilty collecting people's money when they give it to me willingly. I have no single guilt about that. Say amen. But he kept doing that. So one day I observed it was a pattern. So one day I said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing? Because I became uncomfortable with it. And anytime I get uncomfortable with anything, I know that God is pointing at that. I said, why are you doing this? He said, how can I come and see my man of God with empty hands? I said, who taught you that one? Is he here? He said, no, from where I'm coming from, they told us you cannot come. I said, stop. I know the scripture you are coming from is 1 Samuel chapter 10. When Saul told his servants, how can we go and see the man of God empty handed? Right? I understand that. I say, please. And I asked him, I said, any day you go to see your biological father, do you go with something? You get the point? I said, what if you're not living with me in the same house? That you wake up every morning. And you see me every morning. That means my wife has to, she'll pass through a lot because every day once she wake up, good morning. I said, no. I said, the heart is good. Bringing some is good, but then that you shouldn't be made, cannot make a religion out of it. You get the point? So I'm not saying that every time you need the petition, that hence that you must come with money. That's what we're saying. But Isaac telling Jacob or Esau to go do that He wanted to see how much value they placed on that impartation. He wanted to see how much value they placed on it. So go get me something, bless you. That's why some of us practice it actually. Anytime I see, I believe there are men of God I know you don't see coincidentally. Yeah, if I come in contact with any man of God, there's a man of God come in contact with them, I must take some from my account and give to them. So that hands can be laid. Now, I'm not now saying that every time you want to come and see, if you bring it, I'll collect it. I'm just correcting you. But if you bring it, trust me, I'm going to collect it. Without remorse. You get it? I might even spend it in your presence. I'm just saying. Because, the thing about teachings are, anything can be stretched to the extreme. And can I say this to you? Anytime you stretch any truth to an extreme, you're going to end up a heretic. I said any truth. As the truth of, prayer is very good. And you can never downplay prayer. But you can still stretch the truth about prayer to a certain extreme. And we are in trouble. Right? Say, can prayer get to an extreme? Yes, so. Say, I'm preparing for exam. I don't need to read. Once I pray, prayer fixes things. Prayer changes things. I just speak in tongues. I get a kabashaka baraka. I can see that. You are at an extreme. Not only will you end up a heretic, you end up a failure in life. Any truth, even the truth about eternal salvation. And anytime I see people stretching the truth to the extreme, it means they don't understand that truth. So we are eternally saved. Correct. You now begin to hear things. No matter what I do, God will, you are at an extreme. Even the apostles never said, no matter what I do. I get the point. You know those days when I was in school, this guy wanted to preach grace as he said he was preaching. And he was preaching and he gathered a crowd. Serious business. I now told them, you see, me now, if you catch me on top of a woman, real life story. He said, will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? Everybody shouted hell. So, he now smiled and went back and turned and told him, let me tell you, if you catch on top of a woman, I'm going to go to heaven. And people began to walk out of the hall. So he came and was gisting me like, if you don't know Bible, I say you are the foolish person. Even Paul never said that thing you just said. When Paul was asked, should we continue saying that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. Do you know God's more than Paul? They are very foolish. There is a tone in which the Bible never even taught some things. They say, why you don't talk about some things? They catch up of a woman. Why didn't you ask if we catch you evangelizing? And to start with, the guy has some women scandal around him. Already that people know. So when you now ask that question, I say, You can stretch any truth to a very crazy extreme. And you must be very careful for that. But Hagin always will teach, I don't know why I'm even going in this direction, but Hagin always teach us to stay in the middle of the road. And as I grow every day, that counsel keeps making sense to me. Don't stretch to an extreme. Because the idea of I want to take a gift to my man of God to lay hands on me is not actually wrong in itself. But it can get to an extreme. That's why people come up with all this. There is favor upon this altar. Drop 1 million and take it. There is, I get what I'm saying. There is a miracle here. If you have 200,000, come. It's just 10 copies of the miracle here. If you have 200,000, come up. really at one extreme. I was very careful for that. And I hope you wouldn't fall for that. You fall for that, a very stupid person. I'm not your pastor. There's a miracle here. Come and bring. Look, I've seen crazy things. So, one brought out seats. I can't forget that experience. Lined up 10 seats. And began to clean them with handkerchief. After cleaning them, he said, to sit on each of these seats is 50,000. It's your seat of enthronement. He says, and you think people didn't come out? People ran and come out and sit to be enthroned. You know the problem is the principle he's getting that in from. If taught well, there might be nothing wrong with it. But he has taken it to an extreme. You get the point? Can you give money to a man of God and he prays for you and you are blessed? Yes. Philippians chapter 4, they sent, Paul told them verse 18, he said, now I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the gifts which you sent to me. He said, there is a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. So notice they sent gifts to Paul. Did you observe? Then in verse 19, Paul now said, my God shall supply all your needs. So Paul prayed for them because of what they sent to him. Are you still here? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, chapter 9, verse 12. You know, I like reading to make it easy for us. Give the New Living Translation. This is not actually my teaching, my note. I'm just saying. He said, two good things will result from this ministry of giving. Because they gave money to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church. He said, the needs of believers in Jerusalem will be met. And they will joyfully express their thanks. God said, when you give to them, their needs will be met. They will thank God. Continue. Verse 13. He said, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all believers. You prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Verse 14. He said, and they will pray for you with deep affection. So there's nothing wrong with you giving gifts to someone and the person prays for you in response. I agree what I'm talking about. But now they're now at a terrible extreme. Where if you want me to pray favor upon you, come with money. If you want me to pray promotion upon you, come with 10 million. You want me to pray success upon you? Amen. So you can't get to that extreme. That extreme is where you don't get to. But hey, you must value impartation. That's what I was saying. Value impartation. Value impartation. Value it. Okay? If make sacrifices for hands to be laid on you. Make sacrifices. Every year, I have some landmark, some things I do every year. For instance, every year I celebrate my birthday. Every year. From the day I began to walk my spiritual father today. Every year. I separate a special seed, I said to my pastor. And when I send that, he blesses me for the new year. Now, you have your doctrine, have your exegesis. I do it every year. I value that impartation. I value those words. And under God, should I do that any day? He says, fly down to Lagos. I want to pray for you myself. You will see me in Lagos. I'll miss your service. The point is, we are calculating. You know, I was talking about this with my wife last year, December. Sometimes we calculate because we cannot measure impartation tangibly, like we can measure money. We actually think we are losing money where we are actually gaining. For instance, when we came back from our Lagos trip last year, you know, we're just calculating how much. And over ₦1 million had gone into that trip for a 4 days meeting. Over ₦1 million. And that's, I'm not exaggerating, I'm actually not saying it enough. I get to the point. I have people that, if you ask some of the people from in Lagos now following this service, at least Star Joy was part of the people that was part of the booking of the hotel arrangement. I can tell you how much and all those things with the flight and everything. Over ₦1 million had gone in. And that happens at least 2 times every year for us. And somebody is going to feel, what is wrong with you? It's every, just in December like this, and Aquado Christmas, a park, Diego, and just gonna spend. The problem is, do you know what I return home with? Do you know what I used to come back with when I return? If you are calculating how much I lost, few naira, the naira doesn't even have value. No, for it, do you know what I returned with? Why do you think they blessed Jacob? He left all his father's inheritance and ran. Because what he was running with was bigger than whatever that was left at home. I get the point. He left all his father's inheritance, all the wealth, Isaac, dog, everything, landed, property, everything, ran away. Guess who was crying? Esau. Guess who had all the things Jacob left behind? Esau. Yet he was crying. I get what I'm talking about. Bible said he sought it with bitter tears. Jacob left all the wealth, Isaac, dog. Jacob left the land. Jacob left the house. Jacob left every inheritance and ran away. Esau was still crying. Because that thing you are running with, are you following what I'm talking about? Is the real thing we are looking for. We must actually know where to place value. If you put value on impartation, you will even know how to make war with it when it comes. How to contend with it when it comes. Such that when we lay hands on you, those things are not ordinary hands. When there are meetings, our lay hands, our speakers over you, it's not a time to play. Why do you think Elijah was following Elisha? I mean, Elisha following Elijah all over the place. Following him from place to place. And Elijah was a bit mean. Trekked with the guy. He said, if you see me, where I'm taking. Trekked with him from the Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. These are cities. Before you think it's Edinburgh and Gariki. It's different cities. They were just checking all over the place. And every time you meet Elisha, he said, do you know that your master will be taken from you? He said, don't worry, just hold your peace. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to, this man, I know what he wants to do. But I'm going to follow him to wherever. You find that value. That value for impartation. You know, value is so important. If, you know, every day, think about it. A man of God touches you. Touches someone that was paralyzed. And the person stands and begins to walk. Do you know the thing? That man of God has touched many people that day. When he went to buy pepper from the market, he touched the woman selling pepper. Nothing happened to her. I got what I'm talking about. He touched the conductor. He wanted to give money. Nothing happened to him. When he wanted to buy fuel, he touched the fuel attendant. When he was sitting inside the car, there was somebody he was touching. Nothing happened. Yet that same man of God touches someone that was paralyzed in church. The person begins to walk. What is the difference? One recognized there was value placed in that on that moment. That's what Jesus told these guys. Say, who touched me? Peter said, are you crazy? Everybody's pressing on you. How can I say who touched me? Say, no, someone touched me with value. Someone touched me. Someone knew what she did. There's a woman that touched me and she knows what she did. She can't tell me, she doesn't know what she did. So people were pressing on Jesus, but there was one touch that stood out. Because there was value placed in that moment. Are you getting what I'm talking about? And so it's not just enough that we are just putting hands on you. These hands can be ordinary hands to you. If I slap you with it, you may fall down. Ordinary. But when you place value in that moment, that's why once you recognize this man carries the blessing, and if he touched my life, will change. When that touch, that hand that has touched every other person, that has touched classmates, that have touched friends, I get to the point. You know, and that's why one of the greatest issues I have that we've always had in the body of Christ is that we don't know how to recognize graces that we stay with. You know, I think it was Dagwaramis or who that went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, that's where Brother Hagin went to Brother Hagin's ministry. And he was ministering. He just observed, he came out, he was asking someone, said, do you guys have any issues in this ministry? Is there any problem here? And the guy said, well, whatever problem we have, God is solving it and God is being praised. We are supplied for. He said, but my major issue as a person is that such a great man of God like Kenneth Hagin is on this street. And there are people who live around here who have never been here, who even drive past the man every day. There's such a great man is in their midst. They are not aware he's in their midst. So those people that are his neighbors, but they might have touched them. Say, how are you doing? Security man might have begged him for money. So I'll get anything for your boys. And then he gave him 50 naira. He said, okay, well done. A man is giving 50 naira. A man that has something that can reorder your entire life. So they were begging Peter and John for money. Peter said, look at you. Silver or gold we do not have. We don't even want to give you. But there is something else we have. I get what I'm saying. If you value impartation, it can change your life. So whenever people are coming and hands are being laid on them, that's why I see people and we are praying for people that were laying hands and ministering and declaring the word over people. When where I'm standing, I know nothing is going to happen to them. I know they will not be blessed. The way they are even standing. You see people, I gave example last Sunday, we are laying hands on people. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then you are standing, cross your leg, I tell you, God, nothing is going to happen to you, sir. And I'm wiser now. I won't even bother laying hands on you. I'm not sentimental. I will not bother laying hands on you because if I lay hands on you, you might even fall and wound yourself. Unless I want to use that lane of hands to send you away. Story for another day. When I saw my dad do that, my spiritual father do that, yes. There's one guy came into church. From where he was standing, he already knew something off about that guy. So when he wanted to lay hands on you, the guy fell violently. He said, what he didn't know is that I sent him away. I actually went away. And eventually he was proven right that there was something about that guy. Before he had stayed one Sunday there, he had begged about 7 people for money with different stories. Yes. So for him as a man of God from the stage saw it. The prayer when he put us on, let this boy now come back here. Carry your wallet and get out of this place. So, but for real, sometimes I better not lay hands on you except that's what I want to do to you. Because it's not necessary. You see, the guy doesn't even value. Well, we are coming to lay hands on you. You don't even know that your life is about to change. You're not even expecting anything. By your attitude, you're already seeing there is no expectation. No value for impartation. I want to repeat it again and again. When we are speaking words over you and we are laying hands on you, those are not wasted moments. They are not. They are not wasted moments. They are not. You know, value, when God sees value in your heart, do you know that God means to always tell stories of how he was imparted by Brother Hagin? But though the sincere truth is, Brother Hagin never led us on the Gawad Mills. Never. He read Brother Hagin's book to a point and listened to his tape. He said he was reading and listening to his tape so much. He said he was soaking the thing in for weeks and months, desiring what the man can. He said he listened to a point one day. While listening, he felt something jump from the radio into him. And he went under the anointing in that room. And he heard a voice. The Lord said, from now you can teach. That's like another impartation. What made the difference? Value. I get the point. Value for the impartation. The day I got an impartation to unstop deaf ears and all of that, I desired it. I told you guys how I even slept in the hall a night before that day. Joined the sanctuary cleaners. We were cleaning toilets. Because they say you can't sleep in this hall. I say, well, he said, who can now? I ask Gabo, you are sleeping here. He said, I'm in the sanctuary clean. But I said, I am there too. That's what you just done. You just have not seen me in your meetings. He said, so you clean with us? I said, I'll clean with you guys. I began to clean and I had already planned because I know it was a very big meeting. If I had come from wherever I was staying the next day, I may not get a seat inside. Even if I get a seat inside, I may not get a seat in front. So I just marked the place they reserved for pastors and ministers. 1, 2, 3, I kept my seat there. I had my bath before I slept. Okay, not like bath, sure. But I had my bath. So I sat down on that seat, slept on that seat. I don't want to hear that he went up to eat himself and he now came back and somebody now took the seat. I told the other story. Slept right on that seat. 1, 2, 3, I was just sitting there. And I made sure I sat outside like this. Like on the last seat so that they cannot say, all of you take it. I didn't want all of you. I wanted. And I didn't know. Well, all I'm saying is, Father, somehow, let me touch this man. Or let him touch me. Leaving him his example. Anything. I get to the point. I knew what I had prayed. I knew what I was. I know what was going to happen that moment. Hallelujah. It didn't happen exactly that way. Because, of course. But that thing in front helped. Because he began to minister the Holy Ghost. I can't forget the whole picture still in my head. Very anointed man. He said, take it, take it, take it. And people, he said, there is something upon this altar. Come here and pray now. Before that could start up, I was at the altar. I was in front. You see why I there? Ran to that place, laid down there. And he now came to the altar. I was standing. Bah, bah, bah. I just touched me. Now, he would have simply touched me. Any other day, it wouldn't happen. But I was value for it. It was value impartation so. Not all hands are the same. There are hands that will touch your head. Your head will change. Also in the negative. There are people that when they touch you, your life will start retrogressing. For real. Will start retrogressing. And so laying on of hands is not just one of those rituals we do in church. Don't ever see it like that. So there is value for impartation. There is value for it. And the next thing I say, there is honor for the man of God. It is honor for the man of God that will make a petition to work. Any man you do not think he is anointed and you don't respect and value that way. That's why I've kept saying ministry is a hard thing. I don't know why God is bringing this up again. It's a hard thing. One of the things that you need to do is that your heart must be connected to your man of God. Any man that you are disconnected from at heart, maybe you don't like him or you are just despising him in your heart or you see him somehow, there's no point staying around that ministry except you're working on your heart and if you're going to work on it for real. Because once you're staying around that ministry, the things you'll be saying will not be working for you. In fact, it's as good as I don't have a covering. It's as good as I don't have a church because the anointing, like I told you, is intelligent. Once there is dishonor in your heart, even if the man is sincerely praying for you, the anointing will detect that dishonor in your heart. Are you following me? Yeah, because it's about, look at what Jesus did. He went to his hometown and the Bible says he didn't do many mighty works there. Why? There was unbelief in their heart. They were like, is this not the carpenter's son? this guy that we know. The beauty of our Christian faith is that we have treasures in earthen vessels. That the people is human beings you are dealing with. Human beings that eat like you. That get hungry like you. That have their flaws like you. But yet, God has chosen in his own wisdom to entrust those treasures and those anointings in them. And you must respect that. I get the point. Now, you're not saying, we're not saying you should honor a man of God because there is one man of God that is the best. Nothing like that. Okay? And you say, I can't submit to that man. I can't respect him. Are they perfect? Well, they are not. But even God knows they are not perfect, and yet he invested in them. Are you wiser than God? I get what I'm saying? Now, sir, but I can't respect. It's okay if you can't. Just leave the place and find where you can. Because there are times when push comes to shove that even your tongues will not carry anything again. You'll be so weak. There are weak days. And all of us have weak days. The most powerful of us in prayer have those days. And if you don't have them yet, don't worry, it's going to come. It's a matter of time. You say, Pastor, even me. There are those days when all you need, I told you, God told me by himself. He said, what you're asking me for is only a father that can give it to you. Now imagine if I didn't have a father, if I was fatherless, if I was fighting with my father. And I say, God, you are my heavenly father. That when your heavenly father is telling you, it's only a father that can give it to you. Do you know what that means? It means there is someone he has placed that responsibility upon. That must be honor in your heart. I get to the point. And that's why I said on Sunday, if for any reason, now hear what I'm saying. If for any reason, you look at a friend of yours, you know, and you see a grace upon his life, and you want him to pray for you, you want him to lay hands on you, you must not come as a friend, as a guy. Because guys don't impart guys. At that moment, you must come with some humility. And I guess somebody called me, you know, sometime ago about that. A guy I've known for a long time. He said, you know, MOG, you know, there's this grace of God I saw upon your life. And I said, I must get it. I finished talking, I just laughed with him and ended the call. I'm not joking. I just laughed. I know there was nothing. Now, there was something he actually wanted. You get the point? But I don't know if I promise it's going to happen. You know, they used to teach us those days. This man of God, you know, I followed them. He would tell you about, there's a position called tap, how far. You know, let me teach you on that. That is, the whole tap, how far thing is, for, if a tap is rushing, if the bucket must fetch from the tap, it must be under the tap. If it's on the same level with the tap, as per tap, how far level, it cannot fetch. You cannot be on a how far level with a man of God and you fetch from him. It is not possible. The water will be flowing, yet you will not be getting anything. That is why people who are closest to the man of God receive the least miracle from him. Because of foolishness. Are you following me? I'm going to say some of you that are in love with men of God, or you're a guy you love with a woman that carries a calling, I'm going to say to you to be sure you can handle that calling. Be sure you can handle his humanity and handle his calling. Because those two people are different. You see that humanity and calling? They're two different people. When the other one stands, you will know. When the calling arises, you will just know that there is something different. You get the point? I get the point. And it's not because men of God like praising their wives. Okay, because men of God always praise their wife when they preach. But that's not the case here. My wife actually recognizes that perfectly. Sometimes I'm talking, I just say, no, we're going to do this now. Even this afternoon, even this afternoon, when we're leaving the house, we're just saying, I just told her, this matter now, I sense an urgency in my spirit over this matter. And she just knew the game has changed. Now, that wasn't just me talking at that point. I get the point. Now people don't actually know. Because you cannot get from that tap. If you are just at the same level, the person is up, and then you want to just be at the same level, say, let us greet. How are you doing? Another, I normally say to people who are in churches, you cannot join a church or don't join a church or a ministry because your friend is the pastor there. That's one of the most foolish things to do. You know what I said? Of the most foolish things to do. Because you are joining to support, let's support him and our guy. Don't join your guy in ministry. You don't have any covering. Nobody can speak up. If he speaks, it will not work. Because he's your guy. Guys don't bless guys. It is fathers that bless their sons. It is mentors that bless their mentees. I know what I'm talking about. So if for any reason you see your guy that's a grace upon his life and you want it at this moment, you must at that moment see him like, this one carries something that can bless me. Kneel if you must. Because indeed there are certain things you see some graces. There are some graces you will see in people that you are with. And you must be wise to recognize those graces. Some people carry things, so they might not be perfect. You guys may be joking, but be smart to see. You have a friend, every time he touches kidney problem, it's fixed. Every time kidney, and you now have kidney problem. You're not going to meet him. You say, it's the same grace. It's not the same grace. He can heal kidney problem. Go and tell him to heal you. I'm not warning you. He say, I'll go and meet pastor. We might not get access to my office. Meet this one first. I get the point. Meet this one first. I've shared this story with you. A man of God said, some years ago, God brought a relationship into his life, and a fellow man of God. And they were just vibing. And that the other man of God has this special grace with raising the dead. With raising the dead. And they were just talking, were just vibing. And one of those days, his son became sick and died. He was able to just cry. He just picked up his phone and called his friend and said, my son is dead. He said, what? Put the phone on loudspeaker. At that point, he knows, you know, the anointing responds to needs. After this, response to needs. If there is healing anointing here now, and there is no sick person here, it will just be calm. Once a sickness is exposed to it, it begins to react. They say, put the phone on loudspeaker. That child is my God child. He cannot die. Put it on loudspeaker. They put it on loudspeaker. He woke the guy up from the dead from where he was. Like when your friend say put phone on loudspeaker, don't be saying, why? We have prayed. This is how God wants it. Okay, put that phone on loudspeaker. Unless you want to bury the dead unnecessarily. And that again is a good time to talk about valuing relationships. When I say certain people God will bring into your life, that I don't know why they are there now. It will show later. I follow him, you. And so, there must be honor. Proper honor for the anointed. If you are going to flow in certain things. If you are going to receive from them. I say there must be honor for the minister. I also talked about relationships. Okay? Relationship. You know, impartation and relationship are two things you cannot separate. Now, can you meet a man of God and he just lays it on and he walks? Yes, it can. But I can tell you there are certain impartations that will work better in your life when you are dealing with someone, you are submitted to somebody you are following. I can show you 90%, if not all the impartations you find, okay, not all, but 90% of the impartations you find in scriptures were between people who knew themselves. Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Timothy. That's why I said it is, those things can work. Timothy was laid in some by the presbytery. They knew him at least. Who led us from Paul and Barnabas? The elder, the church that was in Antioch, they knew him. They knew them. And so that's why it's good that you are submitted to a covering, to a pastor, and you are following well. For instance, I said on Sunday, I want to say it again. There are certain things, and that's why you must understand your boundaries in ministry. There are certain kind of impartations that nobody else can do except your pastor. I said nobody. Now, if you just want to play, be playing. I just say nobody. I get what I'm saying? I can give you a very perfect example. I gave it on Sunday. I will use it again. If you have a calling into ministry, maybe to go and start a work. Now, nobody can just release you from that assignment, if not the person that you have submitted yourself to. I get what I'm saying? If you don't understand it, if you have arguments, argue, later understand, you later agree. Or maybe you are in this church and I place in charge of a cell. Every time I place in charge of an assignment, I must lay hands on you. Watch that. It's not something anybody can do for you. Your cell leader cannot say, let me do it for you. He cannot do it too. I'm the one that put you there. I get the point. So it's not just anything that anybody can do. So it's good to understand relationships and people that carry the blessing in your life. Know people that their words have weight in your life. I was able to know them. I gave a perfect example with marriage on Sunday. I think that's the most perfect example for this whole thing. Okay? How do we get married? We get married by spoken words. But we don't get married by anybody's words. How do we get married? A pastor stands here. There are three people that play a role in marriage. Three people that carry the authority. One, the parents of the bride and the groom. They will speak. You understand? They will have to hand over their daughter. Then there is the court, the government. Then there is the church, the pastor. These people carry authority when it has to do with marriage. Now, I gave an example. If I stand here and call two people and call them out, after they've gone to their parents have agreed and all of that, they've even given bride price and all of that, and I call two of them out and I say, do you take this person? They say yes. Do you take? He says yes. I declare both of husband and wife. Are they married or not? They are. But imagine on their way to church that day, before I joined them together, they met one guy along the road. He said, oh, you guys look so cute together. I pronounce both of you man and wife. Are they married? They are not. The same words he spoke is the same thing I said. But he doesn't have the authority to say those words. I get that point. So it's not everybody's word that has the same authority. That's what I'm trying to say. At least in your life. I get the point. This is your life. So that same way, there are people that will say certain things to you. It will mean more. It will mean more. So you must, there was a relationship. Then when the petition is ministered, I'm just in a recap. This is interesting. When the petition is ministered, there is need for you to yield yourself to the impartation. Okay, yield, there's a way to receive impartation. Yield yourself. Okay? You must have the right attitude. If you have to kneel down your knee, if you have to raise your hands, you do. And I was trying to show you on Sunday that there is nothing wrong with falling down on that power when hands are laid on you. You shouldn't forge it, but it's not actually out of place. Okay? And I showed you a lot about that in the Bible. There's a whole lot. Actually, there is hardly anyone that came in contact with the glory of God in the Bible that his posture at that moment didn't change. Some will kneel, some will lie down, some will fall and pass out. When Saul came in contact with the glory of God in Acts chapter 9, the Bible said he knocked him down from the horse he was carrying. Knocked him down from his chariot. So it's not actually out of place. Some other people will come in contact with the glory of God and by themselves they will just prostrate. So stop seeing it like, why are people falling? Such that you know, I went to a place to minister, and I noticed they have this mindset that once you begin to fall, you are possessed. Have you seen that kind of crazy idea? They are possessed. That's not true. I get to the point. Now, if someone is possessed, will he fall? Yes. But not everybody falling is possessed. Do you understand? I don't even know where that possessed thing came from. So you're possessed. So do you have to fall? You don't have to. But that's not your concern when hands have been laid on you. Your concern is to raise your hands and respond accordingly. Hands can be laid on. And I said something on Sunday. It's not every time that people fall under power that they are unconscious. Is that correct? At least you know that. It's just that if you are well trained, you must have the right response to impartation. So that events are laid on you. There are times hands are laid on you. All you want to do is just lie down there and cry. Respond that way. I get the point. Sometimes all you want to do is just to scream. All you want to do is to run. Sometimes you just want to dance. Sometimes though you're unconscious, you are not unconscious, but you just know that there is something steering you from the inside. Respond accordingly. When hands are laid on you, what you are bothering about is not, will I fall? Will I not fall? Let me stand strong. Nothing will happen. How are they coming? Are they coming to me? That's not your concern at that point. You just respond according to the impartation. Okay? You may fall, you may prostrate, you may kneel, you may rejoice, you may scream. Just have the right response to it. Whatever prompt is. And sometimes I've seen where hands are laid on you and all you want to do is to begin to rejoice. and then you begin to rejoice at that moment, and the next thing you even lose consciousness. I get the point. Sometimes since I laid on you, I just want to scream. And what you started screaming, you just started screaming because that's what you was leading your head to do and all of that. But it's about to do that, you now wake up. Because from there you just went. Are you following me, friends? But respond accordingly. Falling or standing is not the important thing. Whether your clothes is white or green is not the important thing. If you fall, glory to God. If you don't fall, glory to God. But that's not the important thing at that point. And just have the right response. Yield yourself to it. And it's good that if it is prayers we are praying over you, I'm trying to get into today's teaching now. If it's prayer we're praying over you, if I'm speaking words over you and you're at least conscious, use your tongue. Say amen. It's still prophecy. Right? So I'm just declaring you shall rule your generation. Say amen. Use your tongue. It's still prophecy that is happening. And I need to also note that you document it. I want to remind you of that. Document it. Document that moment. You know, I'm talking about this writing. When I talked about teaching, I talked about documenting it. When I talked about prophecies, I said you must document it. Now I'm talking about the petition, you must document it too. That again is for me to say that one major companion a believer must have is his writing material. So you are one of the biggest companions you must have. With your Bible. You see, your Bible is very important. But you know, if you lose Bible, you can buy another one. But you see your notes. If you lose your notes, you cannot buy another one. You can buy another one to start writing, but some things you wrote there, you can't remember. You must treasure your notes. Carry your notes. So if you are writing and preaching, you are using your tab to write. It's okay. I hope you are saving up those things. You are using 20 leaves to write. I hope you know that the things you are writing in that 20 leaves, they are the things that can change your life. You might need them in 50 years' time. I get what I'm saying. Are you following me? Spend money this year and buy a proper note. And document the things God is showing you. Are you following me? The notes you are taking in church is not like what you are taking in your school. Where is your second year note? Some don't even know again. And that's the thing about it. Where is the note you use in your first year? Say, for where? But you see, church notes, you must have the note to use the 1980. You must have them. Because those words, Jesus said to them, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You are documenting spirit and documenting life. So you don't just throw them away. I get the point. Don't just get tired. You don't throw them away. You document them. Remember what Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in you, that came on thee by prophecy, learning of minds. In other words, he was reminding him of a particular experience. And the two letters he wrote to Timothy, he reminded him of experiences. In other words, the experiences that you should have, you should not forget. And how not to forget them is to write them. I get to the point. When hands are laid on you, write it in your notes. That on so-so day of January, that laid hands on me and he spoke the following words. I get to the point. They changed my life. Write them down. Because I tell you again, you are going to need to war with those words too. So write them down. Write them down. Don't you observe that every word that Jacob spoke over his children in Genesis 49, they were documented. Did you observe that? To Reuben, he said this. To this one, he said that. They wrote them down. I wish we have a system. I wish we have Christians who can document every time hands were laid on them in 2025. And everything that God said to them in that moment. You will win because you learn to fight with them. So that when you begin to see something contrary to what God has said, you can go to war. Are you following I'm talking about? You can go to war and say, but this is not what the Lord said to me. This is not the impartation I received. This is not the blessing I received. The blessing I received said this, therefore I must have this. Because why it's important that you write down, you document your impartation and all of that, it's because some of those impartations come with instructions. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, when Samuel prayed for Saul, he gave him instruction. In verse 1, Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance and all of that? You know, I began to tell him other things. Said, as you go, you shall meet some men. They'll be carrying this, they'll be carrying that. They will, you know, he told him what will happen. So there are instructions that may come, you write them down. So there's need for us to document the things God is showing to us. And of course, I'm going to say, when you document them, what with them? What do I mean by that? Pray with them. Pray with them. You know the word of God has gone forth. You know it's not going to waste. Pray with them. I said all the time, people waste impartations actually. People waste impartations. They waste impartations. Because when God's word comes, stay and pray with them. Contend with God's word in prayer. Whether it's prophecy from a man of God to you, whether it's just God putting something in your heart, whether it is hands that were laid on you, you have a responsibility to make war with those words. To pray and declare. To speak God's word. To declare what you want. How that, to speak what God has said to you. So neglect not the gift that was upon you. Neglect not the gift that is upon you. And you know, the thing is, there are some, one of the things that God's word does to you, okay, as if the impartation does to you, is that if you always document your impartations and use them well, they will make you bold. They'll make you very bold. There are certain things that you're going to, certain battles you're going to face, and you face them with confidence because you remember that hands were laid on you. You know, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, Paul told Timothy, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift that is upon, that's upon thee, which is indeed by the putting of my hands. So how did the gift come upon Timothy? By the putting of his hands. What followed in verse 7? For God has not given us the spirit of fear. I get him. When you see four means because. Because. So when hands were laid on you, you caught something. So Timothy, you're going to engage life. You're going to face your battles because you are, that God has not given a spirit of fear. You know, when hands were laid on you, it wasn't fear that was communicated. It's power, sound mind, love. So there are battles you face in life. There are projects you want to do. And you know that words have gone ahead of that project. You engage with confidence. I get the point. You engage, and that goes back to the first point, value. If you really value that moment, you value what God said, you can war. You get the point? You can make war. And that's why before we start, by start projects in my life, I like God, I like to get God's word over it. And impartation is not just, the word of God, it's not just prophecy. Impartation is the blessing. You know, prophecy, I can walk up to, anybody can give you a prophetic word. So says the Lord, I got fired with it. When it's impartation, it is that a man spoke a blessing over you. That's something. That's something. So you want to start a business and we pray over it, we lay hands on it, value it. When things begin to go the opposite direction, let your confidence come from the words that have been spoken over you. Because there are prophecies that have gone ahead of you. What did Paul tell Timothy? He said that by them thou mightest war a good warfare. By the prophets that have gone ahead of you, that by then you can wear good warfare. So when we speak over you, you want to go for the interview, and we lay hands on you, as you go, that is going to happen, and then you get into the interview hall, and it's not looking like it. Remember what God said concerning you. Remember the prophetic words that have gone ahead of you. And look at that interview again, with more boldness in your eyes. And start answering your question. I get what I'm saying? I mean, when you start doing, remember that moment. Right? Remember when hands were laid on you. Remember when those words came forth. And then open your eyes again. And I'm saying this prophetically. Open your eyes again. I begin to answer that man. Anything you want to say it with confidence. Anything. Even if you want to say you don't know, say it with confidence. Say, well, for this question, I don't have an answer to it. I don't have the correct answer to it. But if you ask me what I know, I can answer you. But just because you ask me what I don't know, you ask me what I know. But you know, it's true, right? Well, I have a story. I've told this story, Abby. Yeah. So because you ask me what I don't know, if I ask what I know, I'll answer you. And the man said, what do you know? He said, ask me from this topic. And the guy said, okay. And he answered excellently. I told you, ask me what I don't know. Because at the end of the day, you know why he will get the job? That confidence. That confidence. Like, you know, even when you are speaking foolishly, but you are speaking confidently, People just kind of believe you know what you're saying. I'm telling you. It's on Facebook, you see many bold, foolish people. Is it bold? Be foolish, bold, foolishly bold, or boldly foolish? Boldly foolish should work. On Facebook, somebody is doing video and is talking rubbish. And especially when there is there are many trends in January. Medias are trending. People are just displaying their foolishness all over the place. It's beautiful to watch. But it's confidence. When hands have been laid on, it's just that thing they're doing is not confidence. That thing is, you know, boldness is not bold face. You know, it's not pretense. You don't say, no. When people are confident, when you are bold, we just have one question for you. Why are you confident? If there's no reason you are confident, then you are not confident. I said it again. The people say that if you see a bird dancing in the middle of the road, he said, don't stop it. Something is playing music for you. So when we are dancing, we want to know what is playing music for you. Because when you are confident and there is nothing, if we punch you, you will die. And that's why I have been fight on the road. When the vehicle went down, this guy was shouting. He said, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? He didn't know the guy he was fighting with was a military man. Guy was in one slap. He started crying. So officer, please. So what was informing that shout? The good thing is that we don't shout foolishly. When we shout, sometimes we shout and speak of daily because we know what we've heard. We know the words that have gone ahead of us. Don't shout foolishly. When you are saying, I must get that thing, that's why you talk. Why? What's your confidence? Because anybody can talk like you. What is playing music for you? Because when you see me talk this, there are some confident things we say. You cannot afford, you dare not say it. Because where we've been to, you've not been there. It's just like when a guy goes to native doctor and all of that, and they put charms all over his body. For, you know, this kind of, what they call that, they fortified him. So that bullets don't penetrate him. And that kind of guy stands before a guy carrying gun. Say, you know if he do anything. You that did not get anywhere. You also stand and say, you know if he do anything. If they shoot him and nothing happen, they will shoot you. Because bullet is not bold face. It's not bold face. So when you see us, when Paul is telling Timothy, God has given us a bit of fear. There is a reason we shout. There's a reason we are bold. In particular, is one of those reasons. The words that have gone ahead of us is one of those reasons. That's the reason we say that we can't fail. Because that is the blessing upon our lives. We carry a blessing. That's the reason we tell people, you see this thing, we are going to get it. It's not because we're just excited. It's not that anybody can talk like us. Not able to have our results. That's the reason. It makes you very bold. Very bold. Very bold. I like you not to forget that hands have been laid on you. I like you not to forget that words have gone ahead of you. I like you not to forget that there is a blessing over your life. That's the way some people are shouting. And I'll ask, why are you shouting? What is your confidence? What is your confidence? Why are you confident that this will happen? If without confidence, all you have is wishful thinking. And if wishes we are horses, beggars will ride on them. Good thing is, wishes are not horses. They are not. But when we see us talk, they will talk. There's a reason. What has been said over your life? You see, 2025, there's a reason we engage where we engage. Because we carry the blessing. When you see Jacob enter Laban's house, Saul reaches out, I want to marry this girl. They cheated him the first time. He wasn't shaking. The guy was carrying a blessing. He knew where he was going. Do you know? He confidently told Laban, let us divide. It makes you confident. The sheep that produces this type will be yours. The one that produces speckled or whatever will be mine. Now, what was his confidence that his own will be more? People will say he manipulated and he did some things to favor him, but I don't actually say that, but not for today. I won't go into that today. End point was the guy prospered. confidently. Confidently. There are people you don't fight with. You don't fight with Jacob. The man was carrying a blessing. Before he left Laban's house, he swept his house. You don't understand. He left with Laban's first daughter and the maid. Laban's second daughter and the maid. Laban's business. Laban's everything. He swept it. You don't contend with that kind of man. I don't just say, there are people you don't contend with. And we are in that breed. I'm telling you. That's why I don't get into this. Now, you don't contend with me over certain things. If it is something God has spoken over, you are not fighting with me. You are contending with words. You are contending with the blessing. You will lose. You will lose. You will lose. You don't contend with certain people. I'm telling you that by then you might war a good warfare. 1 Timothy 1. I'm already quoting it. That by then you might war a good warfare. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. Say, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that by them thou mightest war a good warfare. There are words that have gone ahead of you. There are prophecies that have spoken over you, hands have been laid on you. Every time you come to meetings and you are going home, and words were spoken over you, go and fight with them. Those moments are treasured moments that will change your life. See, for the moment, I want to close. So I said, you pray with those words. You pray with those words. And final thing I'm going to say today is that you take action. Any impartation that is not matched or that is not followed by actions is actually an impartation that will fail, if I can use that word. You take action. Hear what I'm going to say. Every time hands are laid on you, an opportunity must arise for you to take action in the direction of those who are spoken. If I speak words over you, they are going to be this. Maybe I spoke over your finances. Something is going to happen that you have to be smart enough to take advantage of, because those words are about coming to pass. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 7, from verse 1, Samuel laid hands on Saul. When he was done in verse 7, he told him, and let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. He said, when you live here, give me other translations of this verse 7. He said, when you live here, do as the occasion serve thee. He said, after these signs take place, do what must be done. Do so. Impartation does not demand that you just go and sit down in your house. They've let us on me. Glory, 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 go and sit down. You must now do what must be done. Because after every impartation, there is something that must be done. And may God help you know what must be done. I get the point. May God help you know what must be done. Just like what we're teaching on faith. You can't get yourself an impartation and just go and sit down. There's something that must be done. You take that action. Amplified Classic said, do whatever you find to be done. And do you know, did Saul obey this? I tell you, he did. What happened in 1 Samuel chapter 11 from verse 1? Now, notice, towards the end of verse 10, of chapter 10 rather, he has been made king because Samuel called him and anointed him king. Some people stood up to say, we don't want Saul as our king. Who is this guy? That's what I think. People that are carrying the position, don't fight with them. Saul didn't bother them. He went to. And then in chapter 11, some people, I think the Ammonites, came up against Jabesh Gilead, just a part in Israel, and threatened them and told them, we want all of you to pluck one of your eyes and give us. Read it. Go to the next verse. He said, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. Can you imagine that? That's looking for trouble. And Saul heard the news. Now the occasion has come. Remember, he was imparted to be king of Israel. Israel, all of them didn't accept him. But so this was an occasion for him to prove that God actually anointed him for kingship. And he rose up, took actions, and shut down the Ammonites. Dealt with them. By the time the battle was over in verse 11, they now announced, who the Israelites were like, who were those people that said that Saul cannot lead us
bring them, let us kill them. It was Samuel that stopped them. Said, please don't kill anybody today. Let us rejoice today. Everyone accepted him as king because the impartation that came upon his life, an occasion came for it. He acted. Every time we lay hands on you, just like we are praying here, I say there is a healing anointing, whatever. We lay hands on you. And then you say, I receive, and you're leaving, and at the hospital, and something tells you, go pray for them. That's an occasion that has come up for that impartation. You must do as the occasion serves you. There are many of us that received impartation and nothing came out of it. Because the occasion for that came up and you did nothing. You did nothing. As I'm praying for you, your tongue will now be sharp. Every time you preach the gospel, men can't say no to you. There's that anointing. And you say, man, you even fall down, you roll on the ground. When you get up, go preach to a sinner. That is the occasion that impartation demands. And I can show you this all over the Bible. After every impartation, something is waiting for you to exercise what has come upon you. Remember I told you, the anointing responds to needs. So it is normal that if you receive a healing anointing, a sickness is waiting somewhere. Blessing demand. I remember when I received an impartation to stop deaf ears. I received an impartation, I can't forget, 31st of December, 2013. It was around the morning time. I was in the morning. But I didn't stay for the night session of that program, just morning like this. I went home. I prayed. I didn't see any deaf person. But I just kept praying. January, February, March, April. Was it April? May now. And we're organizing a conference in CYF then. Some of you know. CARIS 2014. Held at Obolo. And then we came for the meeting. I was ministering to the sick. Just lay hands on people. Just people were testifying. It was Brother Chima here that was announcing. Pastor, there is someone here that has this. And we just kept doing that. Until he came up to me and said, sir, remove the mic. Said, there is a girl they brought out here. She's deaf, she's dumb, she's not healed. So they just brought her. You know, normally people can be like that. So do I tell them to go back? And for real, I guess I can tell them to go back. I've prayed. Okay, go keep trusting for your healing. But immediately he told me that, my mind went straight back to that day in that program. I said, this is an opportunity. I said, bring her. Yes. That was the beginning. Okay, that was the beginning. And I've found that impartation to flame. I've ministered to a deaf person before. 2 times. The first one failed woefully. I prayed until that was 2006. I prayed. This girl went more deaf and dumb. So nothing happened. Okay, 3 years or so after that, I ministered to another deaf and dumb person. The girl heard. But that took us hours as we prayed. We prayed. You know prayer. In praying, we prayed. We sweated. Can you hear me now? Say no. We prayed. So after that, I told myself, I didn't want this kind of drama again. So I began to trust God from that day. So I listened to the petition. 31st, 2013. Here was me. And I saw that lady. I remembered. And I just called that girl for me. And I put her so high immediately. And I asked her friends, what the people that brought her, what's her name? They told me. I called her. She responded immediately. How many of you are in that meeting? This one is not taste by moonlight. It's not pastor, it's forging. No prayer. I just put her in immediately. You know why? That's there are impartation that's gone forth. And I've been fanning that thing. Stir up the gift that is within you. I've been stirring it. What's I've gone for? So when the time came, what's that? Girl's ear was contending with at that time. We are the many ones that have gone forth. The power in that place was bigger than her ear problem. It's been months. I get up sitting on this impartation and dealing with it. And it has gone from that, from meeting to meeting. From meeting. I think I told somebody at the end of my life, if they ask everyone that has been healed of an ear condition through our ministry to come, there will be over 10,000. Yeah, I know that. Because currently, there are even over 500 currently. One impartation. You get the point? Are you following me? One impartation.
He says, sir, you mean 500? No, what 500? I mean 500 though. As some of you know, I can go to a meeting. There was a time you organized a crusade in your village that I came. I think one night we had about, was it 7 or 8? Lined up, deaf, 1 ear deaf, 2 ears deaf. Put it on all of them, all the ears. Not one was left. All opened. One impartation. Occasions must come for you to try it. I get what I'm saying. I put an anointing upon you for financial whatever. You wake up on Monday morning, you don't go look for a job. You are lying down on your bed. You are wasting that impartation. At that time, words have gone forth. The blessing is waiting. You will not go look for a job. You will not apply. Business, you will not start. You just roll on your bed, commenting on Facebook, commenting, and liking WhatsApp status. Then you post on God. On which God? Words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion. You are writing on your Facebook page, on your WhatsApp, and you are in your room. Which at this point cannot be reversed. It will be reversed. It cannot be reversed. It will be reversed. Because you are not acting on that impartation. 2 Kings chapter 2. Immediately, I think verse 11. Immediately Elijah ascended. Right? And yes, while they spake, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. In verse 12, and Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. Verse 13, watch. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back. What did he do immediately? He stood by the bank of Jordan. And what did he do? He took the water that fell from him and smote the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He engendered the partition immediately. The waters divided. Divided. Do you know what happened? Immediately those that was divided. Verse 15. He said, the sons of prophets that were in Jericho saw him. They say the spirit of Elijah has rested on Elisha. They saw it. You don't need to use your mouth to tell people that they laid hands on you. And I've told you, one of the things I don't like is when they lay hands on you, you snap it and post it. I don't like it. I'm not saying it's a sin, I don't like it. Okay, if we lay hands on you. Show us. Elijah didn't lift up and say, hello guys, Elijah has handed over to me. Oh, you better listen to me. And I'm saying this to everyone that's made a leader in this church. I made a leader, I made a minister, I made a pastor. It is normal that when you are made a leader of a team, that the people there, they may just accept you because they've been taught to accept you. Again, the point, they've been taught that they should respect you, and that's okay. But see, remember that if I made you a leader, I put my hands on you. There must be an evidence that hands came upon you. So what do I do? Do as the occasion demands. Because the occasion must demand. I get to the point. Yeah. Somebody could fall sick in your team, and you just get there, and you begin to pray, God begins to show you things. That is the occasion. Because there is something about people respecting you because they've been told to respect you. And people respect you because you are worth respecting. You are worth the respect. I get what I'm talking about. Yeah, don't let people not just follow you or listen to you or obey because they were taught how to obey you. I get what I'm talking about. Because they're taught how to obey you. There are graces, so. They are graces. I get to the point. You know, when I got married my wife last year, all of you, you've been well taught, began to obey. Mom, good evening. I have to call her mom. Don't call her mom now. They will now say you're not respectful. Say, mom, good evening. You know. But then, so many of you now are no longer calling the mom because somebody told you to. My wife has ever laid this on you and spoken over you. You know she carries a very strong prophetical trance. Do you know? If you don't know, if she touches you and prays for you, you know there's a strong prophetical trance. Now, at that point, whenever she's done, if she prays for you,
and really prays for you and talks to you in that prayer,
you no longer, it's no longer because they said. And that's how it is. When you are made a leader, just like Saul was made a leader, people followed it because, as Samuel said, we should follow this man. Then the occasion came. I get what I'm talking about here. The occasion came. I'm talking about, you know, some of the ministers here. We made some of them ministers. Some of you didn't. Some of you know even, I wish this one, which one is minister. But gradually you began to go close to them. Sometimes you are sick, they will pray. Sometimes they will even give you a word of encouragement. You say, ah, that one is anointed though. That's how it works. I get the point. That's how it works. Like, so you don't stay in your small space. Say, I don't, they listen to me. They won't. If impartation, if hands has been laid on you, prove it. Now, proving it is not trying to prove a point to anybody. I mean, when the need arises, because that need must always arise. Sometimes all you need, there are some of these ministers that you call today for counseling and all of that, because the last time you spoke to them, they spoke by the wisdom of God and you solved your problem. Now you will get back to them. Because part of the production I impart on our little ministers all the time is the wisdom of God. So you now have a problem, you now talk to them, says, ah, ma, I'm just thinking of how to solve it. And they just tell you, why not do this? Say, ah, you know, they say, it's worked. You're going to get back there. It's not that interpretation pulling you. So you see Elijah's case. When Elisha received the impartation, the sons of the prophet saw everything. They saw the mantle fall. They saw Elijah. They didn't do anything until he divided us. They said, he has caught it. That's why I don't believe in all this. All this media. You meet a man of God, they lay hands on you, you post it on Facebook and say, hands has been laid on us. We are taking over. Okay, take over. Let's see. You know, the foolishness there is that, let me tell the foolishness there. Many of the impartations you read in the Bible, never happened in a church. They happened in people's rooms. When it was after anointing Jehu, it was in a room. And why God separates you like that to impart you like that sometimes, it's not for you to go and tell the whole world. They should see the results and not hear the words. I feel what I'm saying. It's not for, so they took Jehu separately. When it was up for the 70 elders, they separated the 70 elders. I mean, Moses did that. He parted them. And they began to lead, they began to judge. So when we've related, words have we spoken over you? That's why they were telling me, you know, we want to replace one of the band. This banner now for crossover service in front. So I was telling them, it has stayed though. And they were like, what do we put there? And somebody said, let us put our year of signs and wonders. I told the person, no, that thing is not for the general public. It is God's word to us. People will see it and say, they are now a sign and they wonder. We're not the one that will tell them what God told us. It is what we have to do is to prove it. It's awful what I'm talking about. It's to prove it. It's not, I don't care about whether you know that God said this to us. But when it happens, you will know. You will know. You will know. Occasion will demand. Things will happen for you to act on what has been said over you. When I lay hands on you over your finance, don't go and sit down in your room. Get up. You enter the first office, they turn you down, go to the second office. You try cashew business in face, sell granite until something works because you are carrying a blessing. You're carrying a blessing. Don't go and sit down in your room. And let me even say, find out what God wants you to act on. Because at every time impartation comes, there's an action God wants you to take. Find it out in the spirit and act on it. When hands were laid on Paul and Barnabas, supposed to be Paul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. Acts 13, verse 3, hands were laid on them. Put it up, let me show you. I think I'm just close from there. Hands were laid on them and they were sent on their way. In verse 4, what did they do? So they being sent by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. They left for the ministry. We cannot impart you for the work God has sent you to do. You can't sit down in your room. That's what happens. We have meetings and we pray the fire of the Holy Ghost. Everybody's under the anointing. You catch tangible fire. You now go and start sleeping in your room. You catch evangelistic fire. You can't lie down in your room. Evangelism will not be there. Sinners are perished. You will not preach to them. You are wasting. Paul, not a lens on them. They're being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. How were they sent forth by the Holy Ghost? When those guys laid hands on them, they departed. That particular moment altered Paul's life forever. that moment, he never remained the same. He went from place to place, first missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey, all his life, just that moment. Just that moment. Ah, the amount of petition that may change your life might just be 10 seconds or 30 minutes or even 1 minute. But if you can respond to it, it can alter your life forever. Just one moment. Just one. It altered his life. They acted on it. Whenever the blessing has been spoken over you, do as the occasion demands. Get up and do something. Get up and do. That's why in healing, when we lay hands on you for healing, what do we say? Do what you couldn't do before. All we are asking you to do is to begin to act on it. It's the same thing. We lay hands on you for ministry. Go out and do what you couldn't do before. It's the same principle. Lay hands on people. Two of you, I pray. Oh, there's an anointing coming upon you. From now, you begin to flow in the prophetic very mightily. You say amen. You even fall down. You scatter everywhere. You get up. And now you see someone, God begins to put ideas in your heart. Share with this person. You say no. Is it a problem? The occasion has come. You've turned it down. I get 10 points. So how to respond to impartation, even prophecy, you must take certain actions. And sometimes the action you have to take is to be more serious. Imagine you come to him and say, the Lord is saying this year he wants to use you mightily. You don't know what that thing calls for. It means carry your bag and come and live inside church. It means take your devotion more seriously. It means take your prayer life more seriously. Because God will not force himself on you to use you. That's what it means. You do crusade all the time. I come and say, I see you. You're going to be great. I see you take gospel all over the world. But I say, amen, amen. After 7 years, this person taking Igbo all over the world. He's smoking Igbo all over the world. The same man they say will take gospel all over the world. You know why? He didn't act on that thing. When we've laid hands on you, act. Take action. When we lay hands on you, that there's a healing anointing coming upon you. You get to the streets tomorrow. You get to your class. Pray for someone. Do you know that? I'll just close with this now. I tell people I got born again 2006, and I like going with that date, so let's leave it there. But that's not entirely true, actually. In 2006, I made a decision and now stood my ground to walk with the Lord, and I've not either. But before then, 2003, 2004, 2004, I sat under the administration of one woman. The woman, not my mentor now, but that woman. And I was telling somebody, maybe the reason why I have women ministers around me and under me is because my very first impartations in ministry came from women. I spoke in tongues on the woman. That same woman. I sat under her ministration that day and I saw her heal people. And I was so, was it JS1 or so? I was so taken away. My God. Healed people, and I saw how she did it. Was that I didn't even know, you know, I used to rig my road. I was in front, I was very small, so I was just to get to the front. I saw how she healed people. Part of those is that's when I used to share with you about one of our neighbors who had sores all over his legs, and the woman poured oil on that leg. And by the next day, they didn't tell me. I'm not even sure she knows this testimony. Because that boy didn't go back. But we saw it. The whole leg dried up. Dried up. So I went to school the next day. And two people were sick in my class. Just one boy. Two boys. One was Chinedu. I forgot the other person's name. Not my friend Chinedu. I have a friend in school then called Chinedu. But not that one. And I just saw them. And I remember that thing that woman did. And I walked up to them. I said, can I pray with you? He said, yes. I prayed for him. Prayed for the other person. Two of them. During break, they were playing all over the place. One of them brought himself and said, thank you for praying for me. I am perfectly fine now. I said, just one boy. I don't even know if I was born again or if I wasn't. I'm just still thinking whether I wasn't. But the other thing was that I saw something. I get to the point. I witnessed something. And when I came into class, I saw a case and I acted. I know what I'm saying. Now, when hands are laid on you, don't go and throw it away.
So my business needs to prosper. I lay hands on you. You go and become the laziest person on earth. Sleeping like a dog. You know that when a dog sleeps, it's very annoying. I see a video where one dog was sleeping. Security dog. And it was very, I don't know whether, I think it's AI. But the dog slept so much, the guy brought pillow. He lifted the head and put pillow. The dog started sleeping. Sleeping like that dog. You can't be that lazy. Are you following me? You can't be that lazy. Because I know some of you, all of us have financial plans, big financial plans. And I've released the blessing on Sunday. And I will keep doing that this year. Do as the occasion serves you. Do as the occasion serves you. Many of you have, well, we all have big ministry plans. I've seen that you want to, some of you say you want to win 100 souls this year. Some of you say you want to disciple 30 souls this year. Those things you wrote are so wonderful. If you've not written your own, write your own and have the plan. And we're going to bless it. And we are still blessing those plans. And at different times in this year, we're going to lay hands on you and speak words over you. There'll be Holy Ghost eruptions here and there. Where the power of God, where the gift of God to you is teared up. Do not waste those moments. Don't waste those moments. Don't waste those moments. When Jesus called the disciples in Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 9 rather, Bible said he gave them power over unclean spirits. He told them he healed the sick. And after all of that, Bible said he sent them away. They went out immediately and began to heal the sick. God doesn't impart people to decorate their life. He imparts them to be a blessing. So when that deportation comes, it's not just for you to just carry it and say, oh, I'm feeling good. Go and do something. Go and do something. Amen. Glory to God. Stand your feet. Just leave your hands. Let's. Ooh. So every time God puts an anointing on someone, the person takes an action. Didn't you read the story of Jehu? You know, Jehu is a partition, one of the sweetest partitions I've ever seen. I love that guy's a partition. It was so dangerous that Elisha told the prophet, he said, when you anoint that young man, start running. Because that man, you know, the thing he put on Jehu was a mad stuff. It was an anointing that was supposed to take down the bad leadership in the town. And he knew Jehu will respond to that anointing immediately. And he will respond. And if you don't run, you might be the first victim. Because he might just talk in a way he doesn't like and he will start acting. So the guy just came to the place and they were just gathered, you know, impartations. He was just seated outside. And he came and said, I have a message for you. And Jehu said, for which of us? He said, for you, captain. And he went inside and put the anointing on him and told him, look at what the Lord said, and anointed him. And opened the door and ran out. When the other guys were like, what did that madman come here to do? And Jehu told them, that's why the impartations is not for you to post it on social media. Jehu told them, you know that man and the kind of mad news he brings. He gave them no information. But he now told them and said, who is on the Lord's side? Fall behind me. He began to ride like a madman. Immediately. When the queen saw him coming, was like, who is that guy? So I don't know, but he drives like Jehu. He began to respond immediately. When an anointing upon you to take down Jezebel, you don't sleep and wake up. Jehu left immediately. You don't get immediately. He didn't say, okay, I'll receive the petition. Okay, tomorrow, we're going to strategically plan. Strategically what? He left immediately. Because that time wasn't about his strength. He came in, and that's the anointing. He came in, looked up. Was it Jehu that looked up and saw Jezebel up there? And said, throw her down. Was it Jehu? Throw her down. Now, this, who threw Jezebel down? The people that were serving her. Her servants, they threw her down. What was it that Jehu was carrying that made them? They threw queen down. They threw queen down. You know why? That was the important point in his life. It wasn't just Jehu. The guy was mad. Even the servants were afraid. Say, throw her down. Say, yes, sir. Okay, madam, you are going down. That this you don't sleep and wait. When you've imparted, you act on it.
at different times this year, there will be times things will be laid on you. There are even some times that I don't get to lay hands on you, but I speak over you. In fact, I say this by the Spirit. There are some of you that saw me laying hands on you in your dream. And I'm talking to a particular person that saw me lay hands on her in her dream. In the past 2 weeks, this happened. And you woke up and you are feeling some very strong presence in your room, some very strong anointing in your room around you. But when you get up, don't waste that thing. Because I've experienced what you've experienced, and it happens to me. Even like 2 weeks ago, I was with a great man of God. I've never met him in my dream. And they're saying some things, laying hands, talking. I get to the point. Lift your hands. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's just.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.